Hello, I'm KJ, and welcome to Midwest Bias Podcast. Now, I typically have tried to kick off episodes with iTunes or Apple Podcast reviews, but sometimes I can't do that because we don't have any reviews, and that's the situation I find myself in this week. But I'll tell you what, I have a review. I'll give you a little bit of backstory before I tell you what the review is. So, some of you who listen to the Speaking of Tangents podcast will remember that I have, on more than one occasion, bad-mouthed Starbucks coffee. And that was because, really, I do not like their coffee, and I do not like their prices, and I think their drinks are full of frou-frou and high calories, and it's crazy what they charge for these drinks. But really, it's mostly about their coffee, like their coffee, not the frou-frou drinks, but the coffee. The coffee, to me, there's something about it I don't like, whether it's too strong or too bitter, so I have bad-mouthed their coffee, and I've praised Caribou Coffee. But a while back, I found out from my new pal, Lindsay Wheeler. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
I found out from Lindsay that Starbucks has matcha tea, iced matcha tea. They probably have hot matcha too, I don't know, because I had never had matcha before, and I kind of know what it is. But not a lot, and there'd be no reason for me to dig into the hot drink because, as I said before, I'm an iced coffee drinker, so iced matcha sounds good to me. Well, when we were in Montana this past week, I was looking for something to drink, and I remembered hearing about this from Lindsay, and sure enough, there was a Starbucks, no Caribou around on the West Coast that I can find. I know that they originated on the East Coast, and they're all over here in the Midwest. We love our Caribou coffee here. But there wasn't any out there. So I tried the iced matcha from Starbucks, and I kind of loved it. So I'm going to have to eat some crow about Starbucks. Which is fine, I'll eat the crow, because now I have realized and learned since I've been back in the Midwest that I don't have to go to Starbucks anymore for the matcha. I can go to Caribou Coffee, because they have it. Now, I will admit that theirs isn't quite as good as the Starbucks, but I can still drink it. I still like it enough to buy it. Now, of course, I can still get coffee, and I do occasionally, but I have been trying to cut down on my coffee consumption lately, so it's nice to find a different alternative. So thank you, Lindsay, and thank you all ahead of time for not bashing me. I am eating crow about my past bashing of Starbucks. Hopefully next week we'll have some actual podcast reviews, so I won't be talking about coffee and tea. And now, it's time for our most Midwestern moment of the week.
It's the most Midwestern moment until the next most Midwestern moment next week. Or whenever I please.
And this time, it is not sponsored by Krabby KJ. Although we are going to hear some Krabby KJ and, for the first time ever, some Hall of Famer hot takes later in the show. So, this is the most Midwestern moment of the week. We get back from our vacation, and the Hall of Famer sees this article in Care 11, on the app for Care 11. Care 11 is K-A-R-E 11. It's the local NBC channel out of Minneapolis. She saw this article on the Care 11 app. Title, Seeing More Aggressive Drivers? Here's what you can do. So really, that's it. That's the moment. They're identifying that in Minnesota, we don't see that many aggressive drivers. And so they're blaming it on the pandemic. So the first sentence is, the COVID-19 pandemic brought out the best in some people and unfortunately the worst in others. We've seen it all from rude customers inside retail stores to unruly passengers in the sky. So it got us wondering about people out on the roads when it comes to their driving behaviors. What have you witnessed while out on our roadways when it comes to aggressive drivers? And then they list some examples of aggressive driving, because again, Midwesterners don't know what aggressive driving is because we're all very nice to one another. Here are some examples. Tailgating or speeding, ignoring traffic signals, throwing objects, brake checking, profanities or hand gestures, honking and veering, forcing vehicles off the road. And then it asks what you can do when you find yourself in a scary situation. And Lieutenant Gordon Shank with the Minnesota State Patrol says, if you see any of these behaviors, don't hesitate to call 911. And then it says, make sure you get a good description of the vehicle, the plates, if you can, And if you can exit, take the next exit to avoid the situation. So, the pandemic has apparently brought out some aggressive driving behaviors in Midwestern people, as if they weren't there before. Now notice, as we'll talk about a little later and we talked about last week, it doesn't say just honking at someone for a teachable moment as being aggressive. I'm just pointing that out. But yeah, this is definitely a Midwestern moment of the week, teaching us nice Midwesterners how to deal with road ragers. And this has been the most Midwestern moment of the week. All right, that's enough out of solo me. Let's bring in our Midwest guest co-host.
Time for the Midwest guest co-host. She's the best co-host of the day. Yeah, it's the Midwest guest co-host. Yeah, you betcha she'll know just what to say.
Okay. Yes, it is time for the Midwest guest co-host. And again, we have the Hall of Famer. Welcome back, the Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Just can't get rid of me.
The Hall of Famer. No, I cannot. I haven't figured out a way to do that yet. The Hall of Famer is not happy.
No. No, I'm not.
In fact, this either is a great time to record or not a great time to record, because we've just been dealing, both of us really, but mostly you, since it's your account.
Yeah.
Have been dealing and just got off the phone with a certain cell phone provider that rhymes with Flint and Chernobyl. Yeah.
And their big merger.
And their big failed merger. Yeah. So.
Their merger that isn't.
Do you want to discuss that?
Sure.
Do you want to get that off your chest before we move on to more fun things?
Yeah. So.
So we can, yeah, because right now it's just fuming, just there's smoke coming out of your ears.
Oh yeah, yeah, I feel it coming out of my eyes even. It's pretty intense. So most of you know that out in the country here, we don't have regular internet, so we need to get like a hotspot or something. So I did my research on where to get this hotspot. So I talked to Chernobyl and I also talked to Horizon to see, you know, what kind of deals they have going on. So I did my research and I did a little chat with Chernobyl, and they're like, yeah, you can get 50 gigs for $25. And I said, you know what? That is a sweet deal. I definitely want to do that. But I thought, you know what? That's a good deal, but I better double check before I buy. So then we went into the store after we went to Horizon. And they told us a different deal, and that one we didn't like as much. So we're like, all right, we're going with Chernobyl for sure, as long as they confirm this. And they did.
No, this was down when we were in Nashville.
Yeah, we were in Nashville. So we're like, all right, we're going for it.
If I may interject, we went down there because there is we're calling this company, it sounds like Horizon. There's a Horizon store down there, but there's also a Chernobyl store. Mm-hmm. Now, there are no longer any Flint stores that we can find.
No, you must enter.
So if you are a Flint customer, you got no place to do except call, because you can't go into the store. So
yeah, and even when you call, it says Chernobyl.
We were advised to go to the Chernobyl store.
Yes, so we did. And we got it all set up, and I asked about 5 times to make sure it's correct. So I'm like, all right, we're good to go. So, you know, we're on our on a little vacation, and all of a sudden I get a text message saying, hey, you've used 75%. Of your high-speed data, 3.75 out of 5 gigabytes. And I said, what?
Yeah, we're on vacation. We're in Montana at this point.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, are you kidding me right now? 5 is way different than 50. So I'm paying $25 for 5 gigabytes?
Mm-hmm.
I think not. No, thank you. Which would take maybe 2 days to use up. Pass.
It did. It took 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. So what do? I get on the phone and I get passed on to the next person, They tell me all their great deals. You know, I could get 30 gigabytes for $43 if I do auto pay. Pass. I could get 100 gigabytes for $50. No, thank you. So I just keep repeating all of their awesome plans. And so yesterday I was on the phone for about an hour, and of course we're on the road, so my phone cuts out about three times. And I talked to Deborah one time, and of course once I get cut off, I can't talk to Deborah again. And so it didn't work out yesterday. I said, you know what? I'm not dealing with this on vacation, but you know what? Midwestern nice. Mm-hmm. I kept my cool.
Yeah, you did.
I did say I was frustrated when they asked how I was doing. I said I was frustrated, but that's as, you know, irate and off the rocker as I got. Then today happens, and the wife of mine goes on social media and is, you know, working the angles there and telling people what's up with the company.
Well, the only reason I went on social media is because it shouldn't be this way, but they seem to care more about what you think if you post it on social media versus if you call, which is not a good business model. You should care about all your customers, not just the squeaky wheels.
That's right.
But anyway, yes, they asked us to DM them. It's, you know, we want to make this right. So I had been DMing with them for a while. So then I brought the Hall of Famer back in, and because they needed specific information on the account. Mm-hmm. And then the phone call started again, and it was another hour. And it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. They basically said what? That you, even though the Sure Noble representative assured you, both of us in Nashville, about five times, that customers could do this and it's not a problem. And the chat representative said the same thing. So you were told by two people the same thing, two different times, about a month apart. They basically said that plan doesn't exist.
Yep. Yeah, I found out what the deal is. And here's the thing. They kept calling it a miscommunication. It was a miscommunication.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for the miscommunication.
I don't know how many times I heard that in the 2 hours. Probably 30 times. Mm-hmm. And what it really was is they just got it wrong, because Sure Noble does offer the 50 gigs for $25. But because I am technically a Flint customer, so apparently Flint customers can't have that, even though they technically merged, which apparently they haven't. So I have to like migrate my service over to Chernobyl to get that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically what they were saying, and she had it on speakerphone so I could hear it. Basically what they told you was, yeah, since the merge, you're on the Flint side and that's the crappy side.
Yeah.
And we don't have the best deals. We can't offer you what Chernobyl has. But, you know, if you want to merge, you have to pay off your phone completely and then merge to the account of Chernobyl, even though we're technically merged already. So sorry for the miscommunication. And finally, you guys listening, I had to butt in and I had to say, this is not a miscommunication. This is misinformation. This is a mistake on your end, and you should fix it for the customer. Now, the Hall of Famer has been a customer for 20 years, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about 20
Flint.
Years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 20 mm-hmm. years. And we both said, you know, she's been a customer for 20 years. Can't you offer some special deal? Maybe just even a promotional deal for 6 months, say, to keep her as a customer. Maybe give something, since you don't offer 50 gigs, but you offer 30 gigs. How about you just take a little money off of that and offer 30 gigs for $15 a month, which is sort of comparable to 50 gigs for $25 a month. But, oh, what we can offer you, ma'am, is 30 gigs for $43.
Yeah, they just keep repeating.
They just kept repeating it.
I mean, I could work for them because I know their plans so well now. Yeah, I know what their options are.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And so then after, at the end of the call, they ended up offering you some sort of like basically a free month of service just so that you have time to merge your.
Yes.
Basically to give you time to merge to Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And don't leave us. Don't leave us for Horizon.
Yeah. You know?
But at the end, she said something like, so would you recommend us to your family and friends? And the Hall of Famer said, no. And she said, even after the resolution I offered, no, it wasn't a resolution. What we want is what we were promised. And then she just repeated the same plans again.
Yeah. And what they offered is more work.
Now, I did just get this DM as we were speaking from a representative at Flint.
Mm.
Upon reviewing your account, I verified that you have a promotion which consists of 100 gigs for $50 with autopay. If you accept the promotion as a courtesy, we would apply a one courtesy credit of $50.
Yeah, because I want to pay an additional $25 a month. No thanks.
The offer was 50 gigs for $25 a month.
That's
plus
what
we
I
got
want.
A free hotspot.
Yes.
An actual device. And now they're saying that we owe the device paint. Yeah. We owe the device, even though that was free as a promotion from Chernobyl. So anyway, I guess I'm hoping that this helps you get this off your chest so that we can deal with something else. But it's pretty obvious right now that we are going to switch to Horizon. One of us already has a plan with Horizon, but the other one will soon have a plan with Horizon, will be on my plan, because the resolutions that they offered us were ridiculous, and I just cannot believe the incompetence level of this company, / two companies, I guess, that are merged that aren't merged.
Yeah, the unmerged.
I mean, I understand incompetence if someone isn't a professional at what they, you know, they're, but I don't own a company that a major cell phone carrier and not teach my people the rules.
Yeah. So we did give them that feedback.
Oh, yeah.
When they asked for feedback.
She asked for feedback and the Hall of Famer was very polite, Midwest, Minnesota nice.
Yeah, I was Minnesota
I would say
nice.
train your people the rules so that they don't give misinformation. Oh, sorry for the miscommunication, but I will pass that along. Like they would not agree to the term misinformation.
Yeah.
But what this was a classic bait and switch.
Yeah.
I think what they were trying to do was get customers who come in from Flint to make these changes to their account. And if things go wrong, either they're going to complain like we did, or they won't complain or won't notice it. And then eventually they'll be merged. So basically she told us to, you should just hang on because pretty soon we're going to be merged. And we are the best company out there. We have the best 5G phones. Pretty soon we're going to be merged. And I said, well, how come when we went into the store, you said that we could do this? I mean, you're acting like we're merged when we're in the store, and now you're telling us that we can't get the merged prices. That's again, right. Ma'am, I'm sorry for the miscommunication. I don't think that I got very heated, but I did.
No, you did.
I was more like, okay, basically I just decided to give her an ultimatum because I didn't think she was understanding. Give us a special rate because you people screwed up. Own up to your mistake and give us a deal in order to not lose one. We're talking about one customer, your $1 billion company. They couldn't do it.
Apparently,
so
they don't care.
We're gone.
About that one customer.
Because they're a $1 billion company, they figure you don't matter. But then they say everything, you're important to us. That's BS because you're not.
And they did thank me for my loyalty.
Uh-huh. Multiple times. The loyalty is gone.
Yeah.
And
see ya.
You're BS to them, but you're not BS to me. So let's talk about some fun things.
Ooh, yes, please.
Some Midwest guest co-hosty things.
Okay.
We have a couple questions that came in. Let's see. What should we do first here? This came in a few weeks ago after Ellen Vanderlinden was on as a Midwest guest co-host. And this came from her husband, Tony Vanderlinden.
Love Tony.
I do love Tony, although I don't agree with everything he's written here. First sentence from Tony. I'm not a fan of Nebraska, nor am I not a fan of Nebraska, but they got to be in the Midwest mix, right? So I think that's his first question. I think he has two questions in this.
I would say so.
First of all, Jolene, I don't know if you're going to be offended by the first line of that. I am not a fan of Nebraska, but I do agree, Tony, they must be in the Midwest mix.
Ugh. No way. They are so far out of the mix. Like, it takes forever to get over there, first of all.
What do you mean?
Like, from Minnesota, because let's face it, Minnesota's like the heart of the Midwest. So I'm talking like, how many hours is it going to take to get there? Which is forever. Sorry, Jolene. You're worth it, though. And it just takes forever. And it's so flat. It's like the Great Plains. It's
okay,
not
so
Midwest.
You're mixing, you're adding to your definition, which is, we didn't talk about the Great Plains versus the Great Lakes. And
yes.
So now you think that Michigan is part of the Great Lakes.
No, I
don't want to make the Michiganders mad again.
No, I just really want to have it Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Well, so however I can do that is great. Yeah. But I can tell you what, Nebraska is not part of it.
Okay. Well, Tony disagrees. He does think they're a part of it, and I agree. So two to one, you're overruled. Mm. Okay. More Tony. Here's what he says. I'm still teasing this out, so hear me out. I would argue that the Midwest bias is not really related to geographical location. Rather, it's the degree to which you're separated from a dairy farmer. Dairy farming.
Interesting.
Dairy farming defines all of the positive qualities for a Midwesterner. For example, a city slicker, a.k.a. cityit, from Des Moines or Chicago is not really Midwest if they can't name a dairy farmer. Likewise for a small towner or townie. Can you say anything negative about a dairy farmer? Neither can I, which is why the Midwest is superior, but I'm a bit biased. Tony. But can you say anything negative about a dairy farmer?
No way. They work hard.
And they provide us with our food.
Yeah, we need our milk. But my question here is, aren't there dairy farmers elsewhere in the country? Or is that only a Midwest thing? Because I figured there were dairy farmers all over the U.S.
Well, when we're in Montana, there are mostly like Angus beef.
That's
beef
true.
Farmers.
That's true. But there must be dairy farmers elsewhere, not just in the Midwest.
I think it's just predominantly the Midwest.
Okay.
You know, Brad Weiss basically has told us there are pig farmers in North Carolina. You know, Iowa has a lot of pig farmers, but dairy.
They stink.
Yeah. So that might be something negative you could say about farmers, that sometimes they stink.
Well, pig farmers stink.
Well, do their farms stink or do they stink? I think if they're just coming in from the farm, they stink.
Yeah. Depends on when they just showered.
Another thing about dairy farmers that I realized, you said they work hard, but
yeah, they do.
They, you know, they're never, when I was growing up and I had good friends that were dairy farmers, they never got to come and play with me because they were always doing chores.
Yeah, they had tons
of
chores.
That was negative for me as a little girl. Mm-hmm. Although I did learn how to feed a calf. So
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So how far do you think we live from the nearest dairy farm?
Oh,
I think it probably
maybe
a mile.
Oh yeah.
I was going to say 5 miles.
Oh, definitely within that. Yeah.
1 to 5 miles.
Yeah.
So you're saying several.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I would say so. I am curious about this, though, about the whole dairy farm situation, if that is, in fact, more of a Midwestern thing. Because if so, that's pretty awesome.
Well, what if we were able to identify that there were dairy farmers in Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan?
Ugh.
Would those then be Midwestern states to you? If we could identify one dairy farmer in each of those states.
No, because I bet you could.
I know I could.
Yeah. It's got to be the number of dairy farmers.
Okay.
Must have
so
at
now,
least 50 dairy farms or more in that state.
Okay. Well, then all of them are still going to apply.
You think so?
There are tons of dairy farms in Michigan, for instance.
Okay. 150.
This is where I learned how to feed the calf in a Michigan dairy farm.
All right. I'm undecided on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's too general. I need more specifics.
I know.
I need
You need lines.
Hard,
you need boundaries.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
That's too wishy-washy.
Well, I think... Oh, yeah. You know what? I think it was on Twitter, and I'm going to check it out. I think Tony weighed in a little bit later about what states he actually felt the Midwest was comprised of.
Let's hear it.
However... He kind of contradicts himself because he said it's really just the degree from which you're separated from a dairy farmer. And then later he says, Nebraska and Iowa are the heart of the Midwest, I have accepted parts of South Dakota, most of Minnesota, a little of Wisconsin, and a fraction of Missouri. So it's interesting. He doesn't even include the state he lives in as being the whole state is being
really.
So which area of Minnesota do you not feel is Midwestern, Tony? I would have to say you're wrong no matter what your answer is.
Far too spotty.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's too much. There's not enough
I would love
rigidity
to see that
there
map.
For you.
Yeah, I would love to see that map, Tony's
a
map.
A fraction of Missouri. There are dairy farmers in Missouri. Nebraska and Iowa is what he is saying the heart of the Midwest is. That
Ooh,
is just
Tony.
Wrong.
He's from Iowa, though, isn't he?
He is from Iowa.
Nailed it.
The heart, I'd have to say, is Minnesota and Wisconsin. Maybe mostly just Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to move on from the dairy farmer thing, but I do think that is an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's a good take on it. A fun take.
So I would bet he has some information that dairy farming is strictly a Midwestern thing.
Yeah.
And then it does actually come down to geographic location, because if there are dairy farmers in Indiana, does that mean they have to be in the Midwest because they're dairy farmers? According to Tony, I think it does.
Yeah.
But as we said in probably episode one, being a Midwesterner or having a Midwest bias is a state of mind.
That's right. I think so. Mm-hmm. And how you interact with other people, how you deal with a Flint and Chernobyl.
Incompetent salespeople.
Yeah. Like how would our East Coast friends handle that? How would our West Coast friends handle that? What about the Southern people?
I think when I was on the call, a little bit of my non-Midwestern side came out.
Yeah,
I didn't
of your Southern side.
I didn't yell. I don't think it was Southern. You know, Southern hospitality. Southern people are kind.
Okay, what and was polite.
I don't know. My Northwest, my Western part. I think Western people, we just came back from Montana and we can reiterate how sweet those people are.
Yeah, they are.
So I don't know where it came from. It maybe just came from the side of me. But, you know, I just frustrated and I think it's ridiculous. And I think if you're going to have a company and you're going to merge, you better make sure that your employees know the actual rules.
We're back at it, folks.
No, we're going to move on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it would be interesting. Would people hang up? What would people do? Would people go to social media? I only went because I wanted somebody to actually pay attention because obviously the telephone call wasn't working.
No.
And people paid attention, but we still got the same result.
Yeah.
So. But they did answer us within 2 minutes of the tweet. So anyway, are there dairy farmers? I think there are dairy farmers on, what about New Hampshire?
Yeah, and, see, there has to be dairy farmers
and,
elsewhere.
Vermont. There has to be dairy farms elsewhere. All so right. this is not holding together, Tony. Okay, so we're gonna move along now to, you know, we got some feedback that I guess I'm okay with, but because it's feedback and I'm glad that people are giving us their feedback because we did ask for an arbiter of our last discussion about certain things. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really happy with the results of the arbitration.
Oh, why would that be?
I think I'll read the email from Sandra Rohde first about this. Hi, KJ and Hoffer, H-O-F-F-E-R. So that tells me that Sandra Rohde pronounces it Hoffer. Mm-hmm. Just had to chime in on the debates. Brain freeze. Yes, always. Ice cream headache. Never heard this before.
Spot right.
I had to look it up before replying, and this is from Wikipedia. So, you know, we know it's right if it's from Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Best source out there.
And here's what she found. A cold stimulus headache, colloquially known as an ice cream headache or brain freeze, is a form of brief pain or headache commonly associated with consumption, particularly quick consumption of cold beverages or foods such as ice cream and ice pops. She says, so I guess you are both correct. And then she adds something that I don't think is necessary. She says, but the Hoffer is the most right.
Thank you.
It says it right here in Wikipedia, so you know it's true, Sandra. A cold stimulus headache, colloquially known as an ice cream headache or a brain freeze. How is the Hoffer more right?
Who says ice cream headache? Although your cousin
says
it.
Back up a little bit. She said, I have never heard of anyone refer to it as a cold stimulus headache. No, nobody ever has. Now, when we first dropped this episode, ice cream headache, I had, you know, Sandra's not the only one that said they'd never heard of ice cream headache. And Mama said she thought I probably made that up.
Yeah.
But then this came in from Sandra on Wikipedia, and I didn't write ice cream headache, so somebody else has it in their head. And then in Montana, we did ask this question. And so we have an unofficial poll. It's unofficial because there was some beverages being, you know, consumed. But most people said brain freeze. However, Ron, oh, hang on.
The name drop of the week.
Ron was with me on ice cream headache.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. I was very excited about that.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised.
Ron is my cousin's husband, and he's my most favorite relative now.
Oh, Ron.
Ice cream headache. Okay, and then Sandra says, oh my, couple is two, few is three or four. And several is a handful or five plus.
Is that oh my, like, wow,
oh my,
you are so
KJ,
wrong,
you're
like,
wrong.
Seriously? Yeah. Okay.
That is exactly how you're I read right. that. Quote, a little bit and some are variable. Hoffer should say no licks to an ice cream cone. Ooh. Okay to a dish.
Oh, I don't do a dish, though.
No, you usually get a waffle cone.
Yeah, I love the waffle cone.
Two separate flavors, two scoops. The flavor you want the most of on the bottom and the other flavor.
Well, I prefer actually to do two half scoops if they allow it. Yeah, but yes, the one that you want the most of on the bottom because it seems like they give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, most of the time they will do that.
Yeah. It sounds like the group has kind of spoken though that I shouldn't give you any more ice cream.
Well, that's just one person that said that.
We'll see.
And then she says driving. The purpose of the car horn is an emergency warning prior to an accident slash incident. In this day and age, I would recommend never honking after for fear of how they might respond. Road rage exists. The horn is not an, quote, I'm angry button, end quote. I 100% agree with the friendly honk. It must be followed by the wave. Do all Midwesterners do the one finger wave with their hand at the top of the steering wheel? Or is this confined to just rural or two lane roads? Okay, let me back up. I do recall saying that I don't like to use the horn because road rage exists. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you there, Sandra. And I don't hit the horn as an I'm angry button. Again, I hit it as a teachable moment.
I think you might also hit it when you get mad.
Wrong. I do not.
It's always a teachable moment?
It's not. It's always a teachable moment. I'm teaching you to get the hell out of my way is what it is.
You're welcome.
So she agrees with you almost in every aspect of all the things that we talked
about.
Thank you. The question she asked, do all Midwesterners do the one finger wave with their hand at the top of the steering wheel? Or is this confined to just rural or two lane roads?
I actually like to do the two finger a lot of times.
Like peace?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll do so the one, but a lot of times the two.
Won't misunderstand it for a middle finger?
No, because it's a different angle. Like, it'd be really weird to flip it around. Okay. But yeah, it's definitely like a country roads. It
Take
seems like
me home.
Dirt roads, especially. You know, you're cruising nice and slow. You see somebody, you're like, hey, what's up?
So rural.
Yeah.
Two lane roads.
Yeah. But then if you're going like 55, you're cruising right along. A lot of times I don't give the wave unless it's like a sweet car or something like that. But I'm not just randomly throwing out the one finger wave or the two finger wave.
Yeah.
But if I'm on like a country road or a dirt road, that happens a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have more time for it to happen, for it all to unfold. And you're like in the country spirit. It just, you know, just happens.
I usually do a one finger wave, not a two finger.
Okay.
And sometimes it's just not the raising of the hand, of the finger, but it's the raising and a little wiggle from side to side, like a little wave.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's very welcoming.
Yeah. So it's not just an angry horn person in the car. I do a lot of waving with one finger.
Yeah.
If we're honking to someone, you know, like the friendly honk, then we wave with our whole
hand.
Oh,
yeah. The hand comes off
sometimes
the wheel at that point.
Two hands, like if the passenger is waving out the window, two hands.
Yeah.
But I have waved with one finger in town. But it's not as often. I do think it's more of a two-lane or a country, like a gravel road situation. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, you're going slower, but also just it's not much to look at. Not as many distractions. You're not reading signs. You're not there's not tons of traffic. So you have time to look your fellow traveler in the eye and give them the old wave.
Yeah.
So, you know, that may actually be the Midwestern sign more than a dairy farmer. That's what I'm thinking.
Could be.
And then you had a birthday this past weekend. Happy belated.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you also got a song.
Oh, I sure did.
You got sung to by Brandi Carlile.
Oh,
hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
From about 5 feet away.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Happy birthday. Yes. And if anybody wants that video, I will send it to you privately. I'm not putting that on the socials, but I will send that to you privately. That really did happen.
Yeah. And I was pretty embarrassed.
And she was embarrassed, but.
But loving it.
And then I was starting to be jealous that my birthday is not in July.
Yeah. Because definitely wife of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure. That was pretty awesome. Yeah,
thank you. But anyway, you had a birthday last week. Mm-hmm. And so we went to two Brandi Carlile concerts and it was just magical. It was back. You know, just to be back with people again.
It's amazing.
The feeling, I underestimated how just joyous it felt to have Brandi. I don't think we would have gone into any other concert now, but we did, and it was great. And hopefully there won't be COVID outbreaks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think most of that crowd would probably have been vaccinated. However, it was Montana, and they were a little lax about vaccinations. But, you know, the all the laws have been lifted, and hopefully it won't be a problem, but I'll say that we had a magical 2 days. It was just a joy. Mm-hmm. We're still high off of it.
It was electric.
Yeah, it was tear-jerking at times, just so emotional to be there with all the people. You could just feel it in the crowd, especially that first night. And Brandy winked at me at the concert. We got front row.
You two had a moment. I all of a sudden was like, whoa, what's happening here? Time out.
We got front row, and we were very lucky. The second night, we bought reserved seating, so that wasn't an issue. But the first night, we did get front row center. Front row center.
Yeah, you couldn't get any closer.
What an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to move back to this.
Okay. Sidebar.
So, sidebar. Yep. Speaking of tangents. So you got a birthday card in the mail, and I won't say who sent it to you because I don't have permission to say that. I just ran out of time to ask her. I'm sure she wouldn't mind. But here's what she wrote inside your birthday card. For the record, it's called a brain freeze. And I solved the ice cream sharing dilemma by not doing it.
Two people now.
Yeah.
Do I hear a third? Sounds like I shouldn't be sharing anymore.
It basically said, happy birthday. And for the record, KJ's wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good birthday.
Now, I want to back up. I should have done this back with probably when we were talking about after Ellen being here, because this is also was after Ellen and Sully from Boston were here. Or not here, but, you know, on the show.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Jeff Turner wrote in and said, it was another great episode, and he said, so great to hear Sully. We did have, and this is talking about the zipper.
Oh, okay.
And we know how Ellen was and I were saying, are your barn doors open? He said, this is Jeff Turner, we did have barn doors growing up in Maryland, but as a kid, we would say XYZPDQ for examine your zipper pretty darn quick.
Wow.
So, and I think Michelle Pendleton also said that XYZPDQ. And I do remember that a little bit.
Yeah. But I remember like an XYZ thing, but that's a lot of work right there.
Just say barn door.
Yeah. Cause then you have to explain yourself further when somebody XYZPDQ. Looks at you like that.
Like,
what does that mean?
And one more thing, there was this talk about Casey's General Store as being the Midwest store, convenience store. And I feel like it's Quick Trip, K-W-I-K-T-R-I-P. And in Iowa, it's called Quick Star.
Definitely Midwestern.
Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa have these stores. But I bet you there are other states that might have Quick Trip. Those three?
That's it.
That's why you define
Midwest, baby.
So Midwest to you is, does your state have a Quick Trip, basically?
Yes or no.
Now we have just identified it. Does your store have a Quick Trip? However, like I said, in Iowa, they're called Quick Star, but they're the same company. And there was something, there's a different Quick Trip in Iowa, different company. So they couldn't, because of naming rights, they couldn't do that.
But they have the same deals.
Same store, same stuff. The Quick Trip is just beautifully laid out. It's just a perfect convenience store. It has it all.
It does.
And they even offer air
free
in their tires for free, and the digital kind of air, which we needed because we blew two tires on the way home from Montana.
Whoops.
And needed to stop for emergency changing of the
really
tires.
We didn't really blow the tires. Yeah. We got some holes in them.
Yeah, we didn't really blow the tires. The two on the driver's side, front and back, got holes in them, and they needed to be patched immediately. Mm-hmm. So luckily, we were able to get right in, and they did it for us. Thank God it was not July 4th.
Yep, we were lucky.
But anyway, Ellen said, I smell a new question. Have you ever enjoyed a slice or a whole Casey's General Store pizza? They should sponsor the podcast, she said. And I'll admit that I have been to Casey's, but I have never had any of their pizza.
I haven't either. Sounds like we need to do some research.
Sounds like it's pretty good. I'm not a huge pizza fan.
I am. I'll do it.
And let me say this. Casey's is an Iowa store.
Oh, it originates in Iowa?
I think it originates in Iowa. So that's why Tony and Ellen are interested in Casey's.
Yeah.
But it's fine. We went there and we tried to go there to see if they had air so we could check our tires yesterday. And it was pouring rain, so they didn't have it under cover, but most places don't have it under cover. But there was nothing there. It said air for free, but all it was a vacuum.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
So,
and I was not going to sit there in the rain and analyze it.
Now Casey's did respond to us on Twitter and said, actually, you know what? I don't have that in front of me, but they did tell us they're in more than those three states. Casey's is in a bunch of different states.
Yeah, they seem like they're all over the place. When we've been traveling, we've seen them all over. Not with Quick Trip.
They're fine, but they're not Quick Trip.
No.
But if they want to sponsor this podcast, I would be willing to leave Quick Trip And
that's quite a statement.
I guess I'd be willing to go to Casey's more.
Oh yeah, that I can.
And I would definitely try the pizza.
I can handle that. Yeah. Home is where your Quick Trip is.
Yeah. There are 3 Quick Trips in this town alone, mm-hmm. and this town's a town of 15,000.
Yep. If you've never been to one, you need to go when you're in the Midwest.
And that tweet that Ellen sent out was based off of a different tweet that someone tweeted that said, Casey's General Store is the backbone of the Midwest.
Mm.
And Ellen said, this is something to consider.
Wow. And,
oh, I love Ellen, but that is not something to consider unless they want to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah,
I'll consider that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, again, we're going back to the, I've got a couple of things here from Jenny Robbins, back to the zipper thing. And do you tell the person that they've got food in their teeth and the zipper's down? She said, I'm the person that turns down a stranger's tag if it's sticking up. COVID has changed the touching part, but I still will tell them 100% if their fly is open. I once crossed the street to tell a lady that the end of her skirt was stuck in her tights. Most people are thankful. I can 100% see Jenny doing all of those
things.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
And again, that's that Southern hospitality that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It's just 100% she tells them that their fly is open, even if they're strangers. So that's pretty good.
I bet she did that without hesitation, too.
Like, I bet she did.
Boom, she just goes for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Honey, your thing, your tights are, hold on, come here. I can see it all.
Oh,
along.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So then she says, so ice cream headache? Question mark. That's a new one, but makes sense unless you're having a Slurpee, which is your point.
Yes, exactly.
If you want more than two, then maybe you should just always say, let's share. That way there's no quantifier and you can have as much as you want.
No.
That's what I'm talking about, Jenny
that
Robbins.
That doesn't work either.
Yes, it does.
No.
All right, so let's move on to the final question. We had a couple questions in each of those comments that were sent in. However, we also had just a bunch of people telling me I'm wrong, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. But I
and
guess
that I
shouldn't
share my ice cream.
Right. We asked for an arbiter.
Uh-huh.
And only one person talked about what they felt, the horn. So thank you for that, Sandra Rohde. You're the only one that told us what you felt about the horn and what its purpose is. Okay, this is from Joe Maloney. Hi, Joe. This is a first-time emailer to the Midwest Bias podcast.
Thanks,
so.
Joe.
Joe says, I don't like to say to people, quote, you're wrong, end quote. Oh, boy. So let me phrase it like this. The Hall of Famer is 100% bang on correct regarding a couple, few, and several. They are 3 different quantities, increasing in that order and not interchangeable, any more than saying a kilometer is a mile. And Joe, I'm sorry, but I don't have any problems saying you're wrong to you about this particular thing.
Now, I would like to interject here because while we were out in Montana, I had never heard that phrase, I'll take a couple few or a couple three.
Yes, and I had mentioned that last week that some of my family, the elderly parts of my family said a couple three, and you witnessed it firsthand.
I did. Your dad said it, and immediately I'm like, oh, there it is.
Couple three. Yes. Just give me a couple three of them.
Yep. Just give me a couple three.
And so then we discussed what is a couple three. And everyone said that just is the same as a couple, except for one.
Mm-hmm.
He said 6, just like I did.
Yep.
3 times 2, 6.
We had some good conversations. And for the record, they all were pretty much with me on the couple, few, several. Yeah.
And one of them, Tristan. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop. Name drop. Of a week.
Tristan was adamant that it was, he even said few was 3, not 3 to 4, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He thought I was pushing it by adding that 4th. I said, well, I'm just, you know, trying to be inclusive.
Yeah. Real inclusive. 3 to 4.
He and I had very similar views on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a big fan.
Okay. So we're going to go back to Joe. Here's my Midwest question. When I was in grad school, one of my good friends was from Coon Rapids, Minnesota, and did undergraduate work at University of North Dakota. He would come over on Saturday nights to watch UND or Gopher hockey because I had access to a satellite dish that could pick up those channels. And let's face it, college hockey isn't the most popular sport in the South, and good luck finding a bar that would ever put it on.
Sure.
And I'm just going to add in, this is the genesis of Midwest bias.
Mm-hmm.
That they would never play such things in any bar. When we were in Montana, they had on like Oakland baseball versus Seattle Mariners. I think Seattle Mariners are the Montana team for baseball, but it's interesting because there are a lot of Green Bay Packer fans in Montana, as well as Denver Bronco fans. So not Seahawks fans. Mm-mm. So that's interesting. They'll take the Mariners.
I did see some Seahawks fans. Did you? But yeah. Yeah. And license plate covers or whatever. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I understand that they have to play some sort of MLB game, but why not the Twins? I mean, we were there. But it was like Oakland. I did see Oakland play in Boston. But anyway, they don't play the Midwestern teams. No. Ever. Anywhere. No.
They'll be like their last choice. And if that's the only game that's on, they'll just turn the TV off.
Unless it's like the playoffs. And most Midwestern teams never make the playoffs, which is why we're so pleased to see the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, anyway, one thing I learned from these games was the use of the term Sconi. And he spelled it S-C-O-N-I. Then he says, or is it Sconi with an I-E at the end? In reference to that Badger state to the east of Minnesota. I never figured out if this was a Minnesota-only term or if Badgers use it too. If it's just a nickname or if there's more going on there between the lines. I suppose I could ask Google, but why when I can ask the most Midwestern podcast I know? I'll hang up and listen. So it's Sconi. To me, I spell it in my head S-C-O-N-N-I-E, but it doesn't matter because I've actually never seen it written out.
I haven't either.
Now, you are originally from Minnesota, but you lived most of your life in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think you should answer this since you have more. I lived in Wisconsin, but only to go to college.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a nickname, mm-hmm. but endearing. It's certainly not like a knock down, like, ah, so Sconi. It's like, hey, I'm from Sconi.
Yeah.
Or that's over in Sconi.
In what I've heard it used and when I have used it, it's not referring to a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going like, oh, she's a Sconi. It's more like, we're going over to Sconi this weekend or going to Sconiville.
Yep.
Like, you know, like Timberlake on Saturday Night Live. Bring it on down to Sconiville.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a from the way he makes it sound here that they're talking to people about it. But I think it's more about just a location. You know, this is, instead of saying Wisconsin, it's a nickname for Wisconsin. Sconi.
Yep. Oh, which you're from Sconi?
Which could mean that, you're a Sconi, but I don't think it's there's no negative connotation to it that I'm aware of.
No, I don't think so either. I've always heard it in the most loving and
endearing terms. So that's all we have on that. We could be wrong, but both of us agree that that's nothing. There's no negative connotation to that word. It's just a nickname for people from Wisconsin or for something about Wisconsin. All right. Well, we had a little buffer between the rant at the beginning, which really wasn't even a rant. Well, maybe it was.
It was a Midwestern rant.
Yeah, it was a Midwestern rant. So we had that, and then we had this conversation that just didn't make me upset, but it also was like tells me I'm wrong about everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to have some beer.
Definitely.
Taste test with a Hall of Famer.
Indeed, it's taste test with the Hall of Famer time.
Yes.
Now, we are mixing it up this week. And I don't know if this is smart or not. I mean, we might have to defer to the Takei rules. He'll have to tell us if we screwed up. I don't know. But what we're going to do, we still have cider from Patrick Smith to finish. Mm-hmm. And now we have another shipment of beer from Patrick Moffitt. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop, name drop. Of a week.
Yes. So we got the two Patricks. Yep, it's taste test with the Hall of Famer, courtesy of the Patrick Pair. We have, so right before we left for Montana, like, I'm not kidding, like right before UPS dropped off this package from, or USPS, I don't remember who sent it. Patrick came in from Patrick Moffitt, and he sent this note. Dear Midwest Bias Beer and Cider Tasting Committee.
Ooh.
Now that you've received a beer package from the Beehive State, I must warn that while Utah is a beautiful place to live and recreate, when it comes to libations in the West, variety and quality are comparatively lacking. That said, I've been searching the dark and seedy underbelly since my arrival and hopefully have found a few things that may fit your preferences. I like to let a cold, fresh poured beer breathe for a good couple of minutes, but I'll leave it up to Mr. Takei as to the proper time and temp for each style. Hope you enjoy. Happy consuming. Thank you so much, Patrick. That was an awesome thing to get right before vacation. And I'll tell you, it was hard not to like take some with us.
Yeah, it was.
Same thing with the cider from Patrick Smith. So the Hall of Famer has chosen one cider and one beer tonight. Mm-hmm. And we think it might be the wrong way to go about it, but we think we're going to go with cider first, then beer.
Yep.
And so the Hall of Famer will now describe to you the beer. I'm sorry, the cider. And again, we are not recording this with video because nobody watched it.
So I will be very specific in my descriptions. So this is Blake's Hard Cider also, my fave. Yeah. And from our backyard since 1946. And it is the El Chavo, which is mango and habanero. And I have heard multiple times how good this is. And Patrick Smith was the first to tell me about it back at,
at the Jingle Fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, Patrick, I did not forget about this.
But you had been scared to try it. And
yeah. I didn't want to buy a six pack.
We ran it. Well, we ran into it once, though. Didn't you, like, weren't we at a bar and they had two choices? And that was there, and you decided to try. You decided to, be, to play it safe and go with the one you knew, and you got the triple berry jam.
That could, yeah, that could be.
So this is something you have been wanting to try for a long time.
I have,
and now you have it in your paw.
Yep, and it's bold and sweet with a little heat. Mm. Sounds like my wife.
Actually, that's pretty darn accurate.
It is, isn't it? That's spicy little redhead.
That's right.
That's my girl.
All right. Now I'm blonde, apparently.
Yep.
Before we go on, we should probably review the cheesy rating system we're not going to use. Zero is ish.
Ish.
Right?
Yep.
One, criminy.
Criminy.
Two stars, I should say. Zero stars, one star, two stars. Oofta. Three stars. Yeah, that's interesting. Yep. Four stars.
Ah, geez, that's good.
Five stars.
You betcha. All right, I feel a four or five coming on here. We'll see.
You're into predicting your score.
Cider's good.
So like most cider, I think you're going to give a four or five.
Well,
I don't know that
I'm giving most cider at least a three. I don't think I'll ever go below a three for a cider. Ever.
I don't think so either.
Bold and sweet with a little heat. Come on. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, for those of you that want to know the alcohol percent, it is 6.5%. Very nice. Very nice number.
I have learned that the cider has more alcohol content than beer.
Yeah, very surprising.
Okay, it is going in the Todd Takei glass from Jingle Fest. I believe I had that.
Mm. Okay, give it a little smell. I smell the mango. Ooh, little tingle on the nostrils. Could that be the habanero? Let's give it a little try now. Oh, the color, it is kind of like a peachy pear color, nice and light looking. Let's try it out. It does have a little bit of a kick, like I inhaled a kick.
You look like you're about to cough.
Yeah, I inhaled a kick, I feel like.
Ooh.
It's like hanging back there in the throat.
The aftertaste.
Yeah.
Here comes sip number
two. Yeah, I have to try it again.
Oh, man, people, I don't know why you don't want to watch the videos. Mm. You'd see the face of the Hall of Famer right now.
My mouth?
Oh, I don't think this is going to get a three.
You know,
I do not think this is going to get a three.
Woo! Hello.
Would you call it an interesting or would you go lower?
It's very interesting for sure. Like my body, my head like has no understanding of what is going on right now. I got like tingles in my throat. My eyes are starting to water a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not even sure what's happening.
What are you going to give it?
Ooh.
Are you already going to contradict yourself?
I'm definitely giving it a three. It is very interesting. I don't know if I would order it.
Okay, but...
like, it's still hanging out in my throat.
Yeah, but for you to order it, it has to be four or above.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm giving it a three. It is like the definition of interesting. Like, it's hanging out in my tonsils, I think.
Tickling your tonsils.
Yeah.
So, I'm sniffing it.
Woo!
Are you going to be okay over there?
I think so.
I'm sniffing it. I don't smell any mango.
Oh, you don't? Is it burning your nose?
It seemed like it skipped my nose and went right to my throat.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever sniffed cider or beer before and then had a cough. Her eyes. She's got like an oh shit look going on right now. She hasn't even tried it yet.
All right. I'm going to take my first sip.
Here we go. She can't even try it. This is going to be good.
When I first tasted it, I didn't taste any spice.
Oh.
And now I taste just a little fire in the back of the throat.
Yeah. Fire. Good word for it.
I'm going to have to take another sip.
Mm-hmm. It definitely leaves whoa, there it is.
This is what my mom, woo!
Yes. Her eyes got huge. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I am thankful we're not videotaping this, actually.
I wish that we were.
That one, I think that's what, when Mama eats wasabi and she feels like at the top of her head's going to explode. That is sort of what it feels like, but it's through the back of my throat.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely interesting. I think I'd give it a 3. I would definitely not order this because I don't think I could handle more than 2 sips.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fun to take this one and like around the bar and just like pour a little bit in everybody's glass and everybody tries it to see what their reaction is.
Hmm.
It'd be fun.
It almost feels like you're going to have an anaphylactic reaction. It just builds up in the back of your throat and it feels like it's going to close up at any moment. I have now taken 3 sips and I think I better be done.
I will drink the rest of this though.
I know you will.
Yeah, I will drink it. All right, moving on to the next.
Perhaps one. More Ooh. Accurately, you will be sipping it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still hanging out. It lingers.
You better just open the beer from Patrick and pour it and let it breathe for a few minutes like he suggested. And then that'll give us some time to clear our throats and nostrils.
All right. I'm going to open it before I describe
El Chavo.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give it a little time. All right. So here's what we have here. It's called a...
Look at the head on that one.
It's called a Wasatch?
Wasatch.
Wasatch Brewery.
That's because in the Wasatch Mountains in Salt Lake City area. Beautiful mountains.
I've obviously never been there because I've never heard of that in my life.
It's a beautiful mountain range. A lot of great places to hike. Just beautiful.
We need to go there.
Yeah, I've been, but I'd gladly take you, my love.
Ooh, thank you. Oh, thank you, my bold and sweet with a little heat.
Okay, let's move on. What's the next
All right, year? It's called Nitro Polygamy. Interesting.
Really? Is that what it's called? Let me see.
Nitro Polygamy.
Okay.
Because why not? Right. It's a porter.
When in Utah.
Yep. And it has like a women signs and man signs. And it's
women and man signs?
Yeah. Well, it's polygamy, right?
Oh, and like an inner, a crossing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So basically it's the two female symbols and a male symbol.
Yeah. Very well done. That is a fun can. Uh-huh.
Black and red.
Yeah. This beer may taste horrible, but the can looks really cool. Mm-hmm.
And what does it say about where, does it say anything about it?
Yep. Okay, it's 6% alcohol by volume, 30 IBUs. I don't know what that means.
Me either.
Need a lesson on that, please. All right. Tastes like chocolate, creamy, and toasted. She's on nitro. Meet the sister wife of our classic brew. This nitrogenated? Sure. Version is as chocolatey and easy drinking as the original, but even softer and creamier. It's okay to love them both.
Mm.
Let's give it a shot.
May I interject here that when we were in Nashville, we went to this awesome restaurant, fun restaurant called The Pharmacy Burger. And they had great burgers.
Really,
and they
cool.
had great beers.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that, well, there are a couple things there. First, I ordered the Left Hand Brewery Nitro that Ed Butt sent us because I knew I liked it. And it was so delicious with that burger and that hot weather. And the other thing is that my brother, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
My brother said, you don't have anybody who has sent you any Saisons or sour beers? And I said, I don't think so. Is that an entirely different category? And so I guess I don't know. What do people, are the people, anybody listening, are they fans of Saisons and sours? Now, my brother did order a Saison that night and I sipped it. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't think we have received any of those.
No.
But maybe some sours though, because I always get those confused with like fruity beers. Like what's considered a sour versus a fruity beer? Mm-hmm. So I think people just have to tell us.
Now, the guest expert we were supposed to have on this week, but due to technical difficulties, we could not, would be able to answer that question.
Yeah.
So at a later date, we may bring that person on to talk about something.
Yeah, we got to ask our expert about that. Okay, so this one, it did have some nice head at the top. It is now gone. We've let it sit long enough. It is a nice dark beer, like a Guinness type beer. It looks like a Guinness. Yep, looks like a Guinness. Most likely, I'm not going to like it, folks, and you know it. It's probably going to be a one, maybe a two.
Well, I think Patrick did his best, right? So he gave, I think he sent us eight beers, maybe?
I think so, something like that, yeah.
So I bet you four ones that you'll like and four ones that he thinks that I'll like.
Yep, I think so. I think he did a nice little half and half. Yeah, it's fun. I'm excited about it. All right. Smells very neutral. Nothing overwhelming.
Okay.
Certainly doesn't hurt the nostrils.
We have let it breathe for a few minutes, Patrick, while we vamped and got rid of the spice in our throats.
Okay. It gave me chills.
Okay, zero-ish.
Yeah, you know what? It started out well, though, because it's nice and smooth.
Started out good.
And then it hits you with some nasty.
Yeah,
all of a sudden it turned nasty, like right away.
Like Guinness-y
Yeah,
nasty?
Like I got to try it one more time. Yeah, probably even worse than that. But it's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Well, that's kind of like the El Chavo.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, shouldn't have had that second one. That's a zero. That's an ish.
Okay,
yeah.
So you liked El Chavo much better?
Yeah, that, I mean, this gives me goosebumps, like, in a bad way.
Okay, well, at least it doesn't activate your gag reflex.
No, I don't think we'll ever try anything that activates the gag reflex. Okay. We better not.
All right, I'm sniffing. Yeah, very neutral. I guess I can sort of smell a darker... It sort of smells like a darker beer to me, maybe a amber ale of some sort of amber. Okay, the Hall of Famer just tried to wash down
now my
the nitro porter with the El Chavo mango and habanero cider.
It burns.
And her face is very red. She looks like she just came back from a 15-mile run.
Oh,
or nice. That she just got off the phone with Flint and Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now drinking the porter. I would say that is sort of a mixture of like a good beer like the Nitro from Left Hand Brewery or the Guinness and the beer that I don't like mixed together. So it kind of tastes like a little bit like Liney's Summer Shandy that you like.
Okay.
But mixed with a heavier Guinness. So it tastes a little bit more like a regular beer than I would like.
Oh, okay.
So I would give this, I will definitely drink it. I don't know that I would order it again. She's now
I mean, just for the name, though, alone.
The name is great, Nitro Polygamy Porter. Just for now, I'm going to pour some more and have another sip. Because I think I might still have some of that spicy cider in my throat.
Yeah, it lingers. I think that spicy cider is going to give me heartburn.
It might. Now, once I poured more.
Yeah.
And I got new head here. It went down much smoother and creamier. I still think it's going to have to just get a 3+ for me. It's interesting.
A 3+. Okay.
Yep.
So not quite a 4.
Not quite a 4.
But not quite a 3. Okay.
Yeah, I will definitely drink this and I'm going to enjoy every sip.
Good.
Because it has been a day.
Yes, it has. I was very excited for this taste test.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't wait.
Okay, so again, Patrick, thank you for sending this beer.
Thank you.
I'm excited to taste the rest of them, as I am excited to taste the rest of the cider. We also brought back some of the Halo Hefeweizen.
Hefehusen.
Hefehusen. Huckleberry Hefehusen from Lewis and Clark Brewery in Helena, Montana, because we tried that 2 years ago when we were there. Really liked it. And my cousin Pam. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop. Of the week.
And my cousin Pam, she had a 6-pack waiting for us when we arrived because she remembered that. How sweet is she? And then we left town with a 6-pack in our car.
Yes, we did.
So we're well stocked here at the estate. And until next week, I hope you all have a good Central Standard Time.
Woo!
All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod, and you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Overcast, that's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast. Yet. And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it, no worries. Don't even waste your time. Really, it's fine. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now. I'm teaching you to get the hell out of my way, is what it is.